look at what I think is perhaps the most important teaching that I have brought to date on this subject of faith. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. A man came up to Jesus, a centurion, and he had a request. Chapter 8, beginning of Matthew's Gospel, beginning in verse 5. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him, and said, "Sir, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not qualified for you to come under my roof, but just say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. Let it be done to you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very hour. Now Jesus saw something in this man's comments. It caused him to marvel and to say he had not seen such great faith in all of Israel. I'm going to share with you tonight what I believe this man understood that caused Jesus to say he had great faith. Faith as such Jesus had not seen in Israel. And if you will grasp this truth and act on it, you too will have the great faith of this centurion. That's why I think it's so important. Now you have the outline, and if you don't have one, make your way up to the front and get one, because to grasp this concept, I think you will need to be able to see it in front of you, as I have placed it on the outline. And what we're going to see is the ways of God, the economy of God, as He works. First, we have the Father, we have the Son, and then we have the Holy Spirit. The Father is in heaven. The Son is standing in the gap between heaven and earth. And the Holy Spirit is accomplishing the thing on earth. Okay, first, the Father thinks up the plan. God the Father comes up with the plan. The thought, the will, that's in heaven. Just a few verses to bear this out over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose. And who is He talking about? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? The Father. And we have been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. So all things work out according to the will of the Father. The Father thinks up the plan. His will sets everything and begins the process. Everything begins in the heart and mind of the Father. Jesus testified to this when He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is. Now, who was he praying to? The Father, okay? So he was saying the Father had a will in heaven, and he was praying that will be done on earth. We see it again in John 5, a passage we have previously looked at, but again, it bears looking at it again. And once you grasp the truth I'm sharing tonight, you will see things totally different as you're studying the Scriptures and as you're looking at your own Christian experience. But in John 5:17, remember Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." The Father is having the plan, coming up with the will. Also, verse 19, Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you," again he says truly twice, bring it up to the increase the importance of it. "I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." And then again in verse 30, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, who sent him? The Father. So Jesus is saying, it's the Father who comes up with the will, the plan. I'm here to do what his plan is. Now, notice what Jesus is saying in verse 19. He's saying two things. First, he says, "I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing." All right, so Jesus won't do anything unless it is the will of the Father. All right, that's saying one thing. Then he says something else. "For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." This is a little different from what he just said. It's one thing not to do anything you don't see the Father doing. It's another thing to do everything you see the Father doing. Right? You see the difference? So not only did Jesus not do anything except it be the will of the Father, but he also did everything that it was the will of the Father for him to do. And it had to be true for him to be sinless, because what is sin but acting contrary to the will of God for us? And omission as well as commission. Doing things you shouldn't do as well as not doing things you should do. And so Jesus is saying here, I never did anything I shouldn't do. Only did what I saw the Father do. But I also did everything I should have done. Everything he wanted me to do. Because whatever I saw the Father doing, that I did. So the Father makes up the plan, the thought, the will. Now the Son's part is to confess the Word to be the embodiment of the Father's thought. Jesus was not to come up with the will, not to come up with the plan, but his part in the process was to be the embodiment of the plan, or to give verbal expression to the plan. He's called the Word. Right? So he speaks forth the will of the Father. He gives expression to it. He acts like it is so because the Father said it so, even when it might not appear to be so, in order to make it so. So Jesus acts in faith on what he sees the Father's will to be in heaven. He stands in the gap between heaven and earth. Again, we see this over in John's Gospel, chapter 8. Verse 28. Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He." I am. "And that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father taught me." Notice he says, "I speak the things as the Father taught me." Jesus gave expression. He confessed the will of the Father. He taught He spoke the truth of the Father. And then again, look at verse 26 of John 8. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me, who is that? The Father, is true. And the things which I heard from him, what does he do? Act them out? These things I speak to the world. And so the responsibility, the privilege, the job of the Son was to confess the will, the words of the Father. The Father comes up with the plan, he comes up with the will, and then the Son gives expression to that. He's the embodiment of the Father's thought, of the Father's will. And then we move down to the Holy Spirit. He is the executor of the Father's thought and the Son's word. The Father comes up with the will, the plan. Jesus looks into heaven, sees the will, the plan of the Father. He gives expression to it in his words, in his actions, in his life. And then the Holy Spirit accomplishes that will in the human situation. Look to the right. Heaven, the will. Jesus stands in the gap between heaven and earth, accomplishing, speaking, giving expression to it, and then the Holy Spirit accomplishes the thing on earth, brings it about. Now, let's go to the middle column. We're going to take three examples of this truth. First, in creation. Creation was begun in the mind of the Father over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 6, Paul writes this. He says, yet for us, there is but one God, the Father. Right? The Father. So we know he's talking about which part of God he is. From whom are all things. And we exist for him. In other words, the Father came up with the plan. He comes up with the will. And then he goes on to say, and one Lord Jesus, through whom are all things. And we exist through him. Again, Jesus gave the expression. He confessed the will of the Father. But the will started in the mind of the Father. And what did Jesus do? He spoke it. When you read in Genesis, and God said, let there be light, it was the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
The second person of the Godhead that gave expression to the will of the Father. Now, look over to some other passages to bear this out. Look over in Psalm 33. Now, notice, nobody was there except God. Who was he talking to? You know, it's not like he had an audience. You could have just thought it. But he spoke it. He gave verbal expression to the will of the Father. This tells me that there is something important about the spoken word. Psalm 33:6. Notice the importance. The spoken word. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. You know, you put your hand in front of your mouth, say anything, and you feel the breath. So, word and breath are synonymous here. This is Hebrew parallelism. Also, look in verse 9. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, who was he speaking to? He was giving expression to the will of the Father. There is something powerful about the word of confessing the will of the Father. Jesus spoke. He gave verbal expression to it. He embodied the thought of the Father. Look over in John 1:3. John 1:3, a passage you're all aware of, talking about the Word. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And who's he talking about? He's talking about the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He spoke it. It came into being. Look again in Colossians 1:16. For in Him, Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He was the creative mainspring, so to speak. He was giving expression to the will of the Father. Then over in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And in these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is a radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. Jesus holds everything together by the word. His job is to be the word, to confess the will of the Father, to give expression to it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Then we come down to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produced it. What do we read over in Genesis 1:2? That the Spirit was hovering, brooding over the waters. And so what we see is the Father's plan for creation. The Son gave expression to it, spoke it, gave the Word, and the Holy Spirit was the one who accomplished the actual physical manifestation of creation. Now let's move to the new creation, us, the spiritual Word. Right over in John, chapter 3, verse 16, you know it. In the beginning was... That's not what I want to say, Father. I want to say, and God so loved the world. Now, which person of the Godhead is He talking about? Father, Son, or Holy Spirit? The Father. The Father so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Also, look over in Acts 2. Acts 2, 22. Talking about the death of Christ. Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through Him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. So the Father came up with the plan of salvation. And what occurred and happened to Jesus was according to the predetermined plan of the Father. He'd already planned it out. He planned salvation. Not only that, but what does Jesus say in John 6? All the Father has given me will come to me. The Father is the one who gives. What does he say in Ephesians 1? And he chose us in him. Who's the first he?
The Father.
He, the Father, chose us in him. Who's the him? Christ. So it's the Father who comes up with the plan for salvation, for the new birth. He chooses those that whom he will save. That's why Jesus said, all those the Father has given to me will come to me. No man comes to me unless the Father draw him. Right? Unless it's the Father's will. Over in Acts it said, all who were ordained for salvation believed. Right? Those whom God had chosen believed. It was God's plan. Now Jesus' part was to give expression to the plan of redemption. He was to be the embodiment of the Father's plan, which involved him living a perfect life. It involved him dying on the cross. It involved him being resurrected from the dead and ascending into heaven. So Jesus gave the living expression of the plan of salvation that was in the heart and mind of the Father. It was the Father's plan for Jesus to come and live a perfect life, for him to be crucified and die for the sins of his people, for him to be raised again on the third day, and for him to ascend into heaven. So Jesus came and gave expression to that will. Jesus, if you want to say it this way, and it would be good to say it this way, he walked the life of faith in the plan of the Father for redemption. You ever thought about that? Jesus' life was a faith life. He was living out by faith the redemptive plan of God the Father. And everything he did, because remember he said he did everything he saw the Father doing. Everything. And so everything he did was already planned by the Father from eternity, and Jesus gave a living expression of it. He exercised the faith life in response to what he saw the Father's will was in heaven. So he was standing in the gap. Alright, we got that? You understand that? And then, who brings about the new birth? Jesus accomplished our salvation, but who actually brings it about in our lives? All right, what did Jesus himself say in John chapter 3? Right? Jesus talking to Nicodemus said there very clearly, he didn't take any credit for bringing it about. He says in John 3, beginning with verse 5, truly, truly, again, bring it to the comparative level. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He goes on to say, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. So the Father chooses those whom he will save, those he's given to the Son. Jesus came and lived out the will of the Father to accomplish the redemption, to give expression to the redemptive plan of God. And then the Holy Spirit accomplishes that salvation in the lives of his people. See how that goes? All right, now let's go back to our instance, our illustration in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. This man understood he was a man under authority. He understood, it seems to me, that Jesus also was a man under authority as well as one who had authority. Correct? And look at what he says. That's why he said to Jesus, you know, you don't need to come to the house. You don't need to be here. I understand something of the economy of God, that if it's the Father's will, all you have to do is say the word. Speak it.
Amen.
Just say it. He had to know that Jesus saying it 5 miles away, somebody else had to accomplish the healing. See the truth here? This man, this Gentile, understood what the people of Israel did not understand. And Jesus said, this is the greatest faith I've seen. He marveled at this man's faith. Because this man evidently understood that Jesus simply needed to give expression, verbalize the will of the Father, that the Son be healed, and the Holy Spirit would accomplish that healing. That Jesus did not need to be there. Just speak the word. That's interesting to me when you see Jesus speaking the word when you wouldn't think he needed to speak the word, really. And like in creation, who is he talking to? I'm thinking of a couple of instances. One that comes to my mind is over in Mark, Gospel, chapter 4, verse 39. This is when his disciples were in the boat and they were on the sea and the storm came up. And we see in verse 39, and being aroused, just when he was asleep, and they thought he was just asleep and didn't care about him, and the storm was going on. Being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And can the sea hear? I mean, he doesn't just... It wasn't all calm down. But evidently, there's something important, something crucial about Jesus speaking the will of the Father.
Amen.
Confessing the word, the will of the Father. Being the embodiment of the Father's thought and will. Look again over in chapter 7, verse 34. Here Jesus is dealing with a man who is deaf and dumb. 7:34. We'll pick up the flow of the passage in verse 31. And again he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. And they entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. Okay, now so he's taking him away from them. By himself, put his fingers into his ears. After spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, who was deaf, Ephrathah, that is, be open. So for some reason, it was crucial that Jesus speak the word that revealed the will of the Father for those ears to be open. Obviously, the man couldn't hear. He was deaf. Jesus spoke the word, and his ears were open. And the impediment of his tongue was removed. And he began to speak plainly. Here we have the Father in heaven with the plan, the will. The Son on earth giving expression through His words, through His life, living out what He sees the will of the Father to be, and then the Holy Spirit accomplishes the will on earth. I don't think it was Jesus that healed this man's ears. It was the Holy Spirit. I don't think it was Jesus that calmed the sea. It was the Holy Spirit that calmed it in response to the expression of Jesus speaking the will of the Father. See, they had it all worked out. That's the plan they had. And then the Holy Spirit comes. Now let me ask you a question. Where do you think you and I fit in on this process? Do we come up with the will? The plan? Do we accomplish the thing on earth? Or do we give expression to the will of the Father? You know, let's go over in Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. You and I are called fellow heirs, not with the Father, not with the Holy Spirit, but if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. You and I are to be the body of Christ, the embodiment of the work of Christ here on earth. We are to act in faith what we have determined the will of the Father to be from His Word, and then the Holy Spirit accomplishes that thing. We are to act as it is so because God said it is, right? Even when it doesn't appear to be so, in order that it will be so. Now, I have much more to say next week about our part in the process, but I wanted you to see the overall picture tonight and to see that you and I now are taking the position of Christ, our fellow heir. And it's our responsibility now to give the expression, the faith life, the verbal expression of the will of the Father, so the Holy Spirit will accomplish. Amen. Now, didn't I just open up the whole picture to you? Now, if you believe that and live it, you've got great faith. You've got the faith that centurion had. See where you fit into the process. Hallelujah. And a privilege. Privilege. Angels don't get that privilege, folks. Hallelujah. We do. Amen. Amen. Fellow heirs, Jesus, our brother. Amen. All right. Let me stop at that. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that in the plan of the Father, You lived it out, gave expression to it. Blessed Spirit, You accomplished in our lives that we're born again, and that we have the privilege of standing in the gap between heaven and earth, and by faith, living, confessing, giving expression, embodiment of Your will, Father, You will accomplish it through Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.